We're looking at our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, sort of glancing at Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, which don't turn there because that's not what we're going to do. And during worship, when we're singing that song, I guess the title of it is Cornerstone, Luke. Was that the name of the song? The Lord just began to speak to me and said, I want you to give this little short word instead. And turn to Matthew chapter 14. We'll put the other one off till next week, God willing. Alrighty. But I do want us to take advantage while God's doing what he's doing. Selma itself is a very prophetic place. And there's a very strong prophetic anointing here. And the Lord's going to be sending more and more people to come here to be trained, to be released, to be to move out in the things that are prophetic. And but this place, the calling of this church is to be a prophetic healing center. Mm-hmm. And so there's just an elevated anointing, an increased anointing happening. And I have a word too for Will, but we got to come back next week, Will. It's like a bubbling word, okay? So it's a brewing word. It's like your mom. I like building the stew. So there's more ingredients. That's right. But the word today will be a devotional word that'll be similar in line of the things that God's been saying to us, because he's digging some foundational things at which Jesus is the focus. And similar to the word that God had for Kay, that God's just establishing Christ in a foundational way on the throne of our hearts and the hearts of his people. So Matthew chapter 14, the story of Jesus walking on the water. This is not a new story for us. We've read some of this and quoted it, referred to it many times. But just to see it together, I think God says this be an encouraging word for us. Obviously, it must be something that some of us really need to hear, or he wouldn't have changed gears for me to do this because I was prepared for the other. We wanted to also just say it's so good to have Father Aaron and Lily Appleby here, and they're in the process of moving to Selma. Very prophetic brother and sister who have a real calling to do inner healing and healing ministries. One of the things you'll notice, I'm going to go ahead and lay this out so Lily can be Lily. For over 30 years, every time Lily receives Eucharist, it seems that she goes out in the Spirit. That takes a lot of energy, so it's got to be God. And but what happens to her is a historical experience called ecstatic union. If you know anything about some of the old saints in the church. And she has these encounters with God. So just that you know what's going on and that she'll feel comfortable not worrying about you worrying about her, that's what happens every time she takes communion. And so there's this really calling on them. There's a contemplative calling on them. They move in the Spirit. They're really powerful. We're going to be really thrilled to have them here with us. But understand what happens with Lily. And often I'll say, Lily, did you get a word beyond just your own encounter for us? So we're going to take advantage of that opportunity, right? It's really good to have Angela Northwood here from Peachtree City, Georgia. Just came to hang out with us a little bit, check us out, make sure we were clean and in the Spirit. And for Father Dan and Deborah Witt, he's my canon healer. First one of those in the history of the world in the Carolinas. And they have a real powerful ministry of praying for the sick and inner healing, but particularly for the sick. So we do ministry today at the end. We're going to make sure they're involved. And they're going to be here until Tuesday and hanging out with us. Is there anybody else that's... Oh, and we want to welcome our newest people who have moved here from California, Josh and Ashley Galuza. The best name now in the church. Best. And very prophetic calling on Josh. And so we've got to be using them too. So it's good to have them here. The Applebee's coming here. And the Pacellos are already here. And they will physically end up being here soon. As God makes the rest of that happen. So people are coming to Selma. Right? The Lord said he would do it. Matthew 14. The key verse that we've quoted over and over again in the last few months is that Romans 6:10 verse. For the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he lives to God. The Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says that we're saved by his life. And he saves us day by day by his life. And that's the heart of what it means to be a new creation, to have newness of life, is for the life that Jesus lives inside of me, saving me from myself. Not just being saved from sin's penalty, but saved from sin's power. And living a supernatural life. We've been talking about victorious Christian living. So this is a great little story in Matthew chapter 14 about walking in the Spirit, and that is victorious Christian living. Allowing by the person of the Holy Spirit for the risen Christ who lives in me to live His victorious life through me. Alrighty? So Matthew chapter 14. It says in verse 22, "And immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side. And while He sent the multitudes away, and after He had sent them, away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were frightened, repeatedly saying, 'It is a ghost, it is a ghost, it is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, repeatedly saying, 'Take courage, it is I, take courage, it is I,' or 'Take courage, I am.'" Mm-hmm. "Do not be afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, repeatedly saying, 'Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, 'You certainly are God's Son.'" Now, there are a couple of things. If you think about Peter walking on the water, it certainly is a great picture of what it means to walk in the Spirit metaphorically, what it means to live a supernatural life, what it means to be set free from the gravitational pull of our own fallen flesh and living supernaturally. I heard one person describe this as that you see Jesus here setting Peter free from his natural tendency to sink. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That you walk every step of your life supernaturally, being set free from your tendency to sink into sin and to despair and all those kind of things. To sink into the flesh. And make no mistake about it, the Christian life is supernatural. You've heard me say this before. You go back and read Romans chapter 7. The Christian life is not difficult. It is impossible. And God created it that way to force you to come to a conclusion early on that apart from Him, you can do nothing. So that you won't try to live the Christian life apart from Him. One of the words that's been given recently that Luke gave was this word about forward movement. That we live in a time prophetically where all the middle ground is beginning to disappear. And people who just want to stand in the middle ground and don't want to experience the supernatural lordship of Christ governing and ruling in their life, they're going to start drifting back at a very serious pace. You can't just stand on middle ground anymore and declare that everything's okay. Middle ground's disappearing. You're going to be moving forward or going backward. But of course, that's what Hebrews chapter 2 says. You're either drifting back or you're moving forward. And a great description of moving forward, of living supernaturally, is by the power of the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit that makes the imparted risen Christ real to me and in me, being set free supernaturally from all those natural tendencies to sink into sin and despair and defeat. Now, here's the thing about living supernatural lives. If you find yourself spiritually discontent with where you are, if you find yourself longing for more, tired of middle ground and wanting to move forward, if you've heard enough testimonies, maybe you've read some books, heard some different things, but in your own heart of heart, not just because somebody else says it or somebody else encourages you to it, you've just concluded, this is crazy to live like this. And I don't want to just study about people who live supernatural lives. I want to live that myself. I want to know in my own experience love that's supernatural, joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I don't want to have to always look for an artificial source of love and joy and peace and patience and all those things. I want it to be supernatural. That's what he promised. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, unlimited. And usually the Lord will help us get to that place in the midst of a storm. You learn to walk on the water spiritually. You learn to live supernaturally in the midst of a storm. Because what the storm does is expose your tendency to sink. It exposes your vulnerability. It exposes the mess that we've let ourselves become. And it provides an opportunity for change. So if you find yourself longing to not be on middle ground, longing for forward movement in your own spiritual walk, longing to see all these things, that the prophecies that came today to be fulfilled, and yet you find yourself in the midst of a storm, it's because God has answered your prayer. Because in the midst of a storm, we live to learn to live supernaturally. And what happened with Peter is a couple of things. One, there was the sight of Jesus conquering the unconquerable. The law of gravity is a real law. It's called in the New Testament the law of sin and death. It's like this gravitational pull, like the sin nature, this thing that just pulls at us like gravity. And no matter how hard you try to overcome gravity, every time you jump up, you come down. And we've used this term in looking at Romans 5, 6, and 7, that the harder you try, the more you die. Because by self-effort, you can't overcome gravity. Amen. There has to be another law higher than gravity introduced to set you free from the law of gravity, like the law of aerodynamics. And so what happens is, what happened with Peter is they're in this boat and it looks like they're going to sink, and then they see Jesus coming. At first they think it's a ghost. They see Jesus coming, and Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's me. But there's something in Peter's heart that's like going, the sight of Jesus conquering the law of gravity, walking on water, stirred him up to want to experience that himself. Because Jesus was their discipler. He'd been telling them to follow his example. He's been talking to them about walking in faith. And so the sight of Jesus conquering caused Peter to want, in his own heart, go, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come. And then the next thing was the sound of Jesus calling. Yes, this is the life for you. So understand the dynamic here. It wasn't that Jesus was just showing off. He's been on a mountain praying. They're in the middle of the lake. There's a great storm. It's the middle of the night. They think they're going to sink. And Jesus isn't walking on the water just to show off. Remember the theology. Even though he was God, very God, he didn't live as God. He lived as man, utterly and totally dependent on God. So everything that Christ was doing was also trying to teach them how to be a spirit-filled person, how to walk in the Spirit, how to live a supernatural life, newness of life. And so when Christ is walking on the water, his whole intention, he could have just flown across the water. He could have just appeared in the boat. You know, kind of like Philip was translated, he could just appear. But he's walking on the water, and one of the reasons he's walking on the water, because he's hoping one of them will go, or all of them will go, Lord, can we do that too? Can we walk on the water too? Now, the sad reality is, out of all those guys, only one of them asked. Believed it was possible. And there may be a lot of negative things to say about Peter, because Peter did mess up some, but the boy would go for it. And he's the only one in the boat who was willing to take a risk and say, Lord, if that's what I can do, then I want to do it. Lord, if this is you, you said to follow you every day. So I'd like to follow you in this too. Bid me to come. And then Jesus said to him, come. And the other thing that Christ was saying, this is what my spiritual mentor taught me years and years ago. When they're afraid in the midst of the storm, and Jesus says to them, take courage, I am, do not be afraid. Now, we've used this phrase before. It's always meant a lot to me. One of the things that Jesus was saying to them as boys, what threatens to be overwhelming? What seems to be overwhelming? You're afraid you're going to drown. So what threatens this circumstance that threatens to be over your head? It's already under my feet. And so all you need to do is by faith appropriate that reality and put it under your feet too. Now what am I saying? Is that in every situation I walk into, as I'm prepared to trust Him, it's a victory He's already won. What threatens to be over my head? What seems to be so overwhelming, so unmanageable, so ridiculous? You ever felt overwhelmed before? Today? What threatens to be over our head is already under His feet. You may not understand how victory is going to be manifested, how He's going to do it, who He's going to use to make it happen. But the battle is His, not ours. And it's a battle He's already won. So He simply wants us to step out in faith and trust Him for a victory already won and let Him work out the details. Therefore, what threatens to be over our head is already under His feet. That's such an important principle to get down inside of us. Because many of you are facing situations and circumstances today that threaten to be over your head, either financially or relationally or whatever. And you need to know that Christ is standing in the midst of that storm saying to you, I am. I'm all that you need. I am in total control. I'm totally present and I'm completely available. And what threatens to be over your head is already under my feet. Now just step out in faith and keep your eyes on me. And what's over under my feet, then by faith will be under your feet. And so he does. He steps out and he begins to walk on the water. And he's keeping his eyes on Jesus. And as long as he's keeping his eyes on Jesus, he's experiencing the supernatural ability of Jesus translated to him, setting him free from his natural tendency to seek. And what was threatening to be over his head is now under his feet too. And he's just walking. And can you only imagine what his heart was? I imagine he was praising God every step. Oh, thank you. Unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus. One step at a time in faith. But then it says here, but seeing the wind, which is hard to do. He heard the wind. He saw the effects of the wind on the waves. Seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now that's what gets us in trouble, isn't it? That's part of the battle is, as we practice this walking in the Spirit, as we step into this situation, without having a clue how he's going to do it. I mean, everything in his humanity would tell us historically, you step out of that boat, you're going straight down. The foolishness of trusting him, the foolishness of stepping out in total anticipation of a God-given victory that's already won, and to foolishly step by step, regardless of the wind and the waves, regardless of all the laws of sinking and gravity, trusting him and praising him and keeping my eyes on him. And when we get in trouble is when we get our eyes off of his ability. It's not about your ability to deal with a situation. I mean, how many times have I heard people say, I heard somebody say just recently, I just couldn't take it anymore. Lord, I just can't take it anymore. So? The whole deal is you never were supposed to be the one taking it in the first place. Not that we're adequate of ourselves to think anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. You're stepping out and stepping through life and walking through that situation, trusting in, resting in, anticipating in His adequacy and not yours. We bail because we stop trusting Him. And then we look at ourselves and we're standing on water and can I do this? And of course you can't. And so you start sinking. And so he began to sink. Now here's the thing about Jesus is so wonderful. Because I don't know about you, but I do a little sinking every day. And what happens is when you begin to sink, the devil comes along. You didn't trust. You didn't appropriate his life in this moment. You didn't thank him as your victory in the situation. So this thing came out of your mouth or this attitude or whatever. And you start to sink and the devil's like going, see, you're talking all this walking the spirit stuff. Look at you. And so what we think Jesus does is like, all right, sucker, you had a shot at it. Now just sink and drown. But that's not what he does. See, we get more surprised at our sinking than he does. Because he knows if we get our eyes off of him and stop walking in faith and start walking in fear, we're going to sink. And so Christ didn't say, all right, go down. That's what you deserve. And he prayed this great spiritual prayer, Lord, save me. And Jesus did what? Picked him up and saved him. Now here's the thing. He walked on water with Jesus back to the boat. Now Christ said to him, oh, you little faith. Because it's all about faith. It was never about the water or the storm. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It wasn't about the situation or the circumstance or about his ability. It was about faith. But at least he walked on the water. And for all their days, now, I'm sure Peter was much more spiritual than me. And so at some point, after denying Christ 3 times, the most famous denial, and we're all sitting around, and they're all like going, maybe one of them would go, well, because there were still people. Peter caught a glimpse of somebody and thinking, man, I can't believe you denied the Lord 3 times like that and cursed in the process. If I'm Peter, I'm going, you ever walked in the water before, son? Keep your attitude to yourself. I may have monumental failures, but I've walked on the water before.
Big victory.
You see, they may have stayed safe in the boat and they never sunk. Mm-hmm. But they never experienced walking on the water either. And to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live a victorious Christian life, is to dare to foolishly believe, anticipating restfully a God-given victory every step of the way, regardless of what you see or hear or being told. You with me? All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.